Heavenly Father, I praise you. I praise you for all you do for us, Father. I'm going to talk about love, your love, Father. And I am not worthy of talking about that love. But you use the weak to show the strong. So, Father, use me. Show people I'll be using your word, Father. And let me properly present it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I'm going to talk today about love. Who am I to talk about love? What do I know about love? Anyway, God knows about love. So, this message is called Love According to the Bible, because you don't really want my opinions. Praise God. You want His Word. Amen? But just think about the word love for a moment. You know, who do we love? Who loves us? And it's the English language is very limited. There's one word, love, and it matters. It's love to a wife or husband. It's love to a friend. It's love to ice cream. It's love to your pet dog. Love is used for everything. So it's used for so many things that almost becomes meaningless in the general term. So I need to separate from that and focus on what's God talking about in the Bible when he talks about love. So I'm going to go first to 1 John 4, verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Can you grab the thing that says God is love? It's like equal. God is love. So if I'm talking about love, I'm talking about God. So I'm trying to describe God. Actually, that's the extent of love. Love is God. Love is so big and influential and enormous. It's equivalent to God. I can't stand here and say I can tell you what it is, because it's like me saying, okay, I'm going to preach on God today, and I'm going to tell you all about God. No, I can't. You know, I'm a finite human being. I'm this one little human being of, what are there, 6 billion of us walking around in this tiny little planet. It's one of the smallest planets of the solar system, and one of the smallest stars, and one of the smallest galaxies, of which there's billions. So I'm a speck, and I won't last 100 years, but I'll call it that. Out of an eternity, a million, who knows how many years, an eternity. God's from eternity past to eternity future. I'm like nothing in size, nothing in power, nothing in strength. Who am I to talk about God? Only God can talk about God. So we're going to continue in that loop. And love is God. God is love. There's also, I'm going to bring the word into it. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's another equality. Word and God. So we already know God is love. We already know the Word is God. It's like geometry back in ninth grade. If A equals B and B equals C, therefore A equals C. Yes. You remember that? My memory goes to weird places, but I remember geometry. Yeah. New Brunswick High School. Yeah. Back in New Jersey. But I had, yeah. Anyway. You don't care about that, but I do. I get sidetracked. But yes, God, the Word, and love all equal big, and it is our existence. We live under those. God is love. Excuse me. So if you really want to know what love really is, you need to go to the only source of truth that we have in this world, and that is the Bible. That is the Word of God. So this is where we're going. Now, I talked a little earlier about the English language being poor. One word for love. Well, it just so happens the New Testament was written in Greek. They do a little better. Praise God. He picked a language that's better than English, and probably English, I don't even know it existed back then. Probably not. There are four types of love in the Greek language. Oh, there it is. There's eros, storge, philia, I'm probably not saying it right, and agape. So, eros, the Roman sexual side of love. I don't have to say a whole lot about that. You probably know what that is. But it's important. And storge, family kind of love. Philia, which is friendship or brotherly love. And finally, agape, which is God's love or sacrificial love. Now, why do I bring up those four? Because that's what the Bible says there are. Let's just talk about them a little bit. We have a fallen world. We were born into a fallen world. We were born with a fallen nature. The fallen world really likes 1, 2, and 3. It likes romantic sexual side of love. It likes family love. Although being fallen, it tends to be self-centered, so they really like their families. We see the world all around us, and it's mostly family-oriented, and most families are very possessive and very self-centered, very concerned about their own particular families and their own family's welfare. And then friendship or brotherly love. We see friendships in the world without God. I mean, it's an attribute of the fallen nature to have friends and do stuff with friends. That is just part of the nature of men and women. Number four, though, is a whole big step, agape love. But let's spend a little more time on the first three, because that's mostly what we see. And we see it in organizations as well as individuals. You could have an organization, it can be, I don't know, any organization. How about the Kiwanis Club or, I don't know, whatever. Worldly organizations that are groups of people that get together to have fun, have friendships, that occurs, and it doesn't have to be agape love. It can be, and often is, the first three. Not that they're bad, but that's where it stops. It tends to be the family is self-centered, is not looking out for other families. It's very focused on your own. And friendships, they are, you know, it could be golfing buddies, they could be whatever. There's often a friendship, they could be drinking buddies. I mean, you know, there's friendships that go all different places. It's usually a you do this for me, I do that for you kind of relationship. An expectation, you know, scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. It's kind of feel like you have to earn it. So there, or, you know, whatever, the strings are attached. But it's, again, we need friends even before we're saved. Amen? The world operates in a fallen nature. Right? But agape love is there. Agape love is different. It's God's love or sacrificial love. That's not something we can do ourselves. It's something where we need the Spirit of God to help us with, because it's contrary to our feelings. Amen. Big one. You have agape love. An example is to love your enemy. Matthew, love your enemy. Anyone can love a friend, but to love an enemy is what you're called to do. And how do you love an enemy? Let's look at our world around us. We see great political divisions. We see people hating people. We see red and blue, blue hating presidents, red hating blue for hating presidents. You know, it's everyone hating everyone, literally. That's the world we live in. That's not God. That's not agape love. Amen. That's Satan at work, right? I mean, Satan is here to steal, kill, and destroy. He's allowed to roam the earth and enter people's thoughts, and we easily fall into the you know, they don't, they're happy with abortion, for example. Well, that's not right, you know. I should hate that person. No, no, that's not how it works. Agape love said, you love everyone. Yes, you may not agree with them. It doesn't mean you to love someone is to agree with everything they believe in. Of course not. Even more than that, you're not called to enable them to continue their bad sin, whatever that may be. You may see sin in someone. Enabling that sin is not a way to allow them to become a friend, so maybe they'll listen to you hear about changing the sin. Enabling doesn't work. So it's just another area. But agape love, that's the one that comes from God. That comes from a relationship with the Lord. We were just upstairs, some of us, and we heard the dire statistics about how the church in general is falling short. You know, average of 2 minutes of prayer time with the Lord, personal prayer time with the Lord by believers. Only 1% of the population of evangelical Christians actually disciple other people. It's pretty dire statistics we heard. Why is that? What's missing in us? Is it the church? Well, let's go back. Let's take a look at churches a little bit, and then we'll get back to us. Churches can operate with the first three without agape love. They can. You can have a church. You can have family and friendship and get together and have a good time and praise and worship and all go home content and happy. Remember the word content? That was also upstairs. A big thing of churches is to make people content and then they go home again and feel good. So it takes a special church, I think, to have number four be the driving force behind the church. Amen. So that's what we strive for. Let's continue on. The whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Agape love is not a feeling. Agape love is an act of your will. You love someone even if you don't feel like it. Unconditional love, only available through the Spirit, even though your flesh hates it. Unconditional love of someone who does things that make you mad. But you're called to love them. You do so by listening to your spirit, and your flesh follows your spirit. What's that about? Well, the lost person, before he's saved, his flesh rules, right? We follow our flesh. We follow, you're hungry, you go eat, you want this, you go after that. Anyway, I won't go into that great depth. We all know about sin. The flesh leads, yes? And then we know that when we finally find the Lord and pray to him to be our Lord and Savior, he enters the Holy Spirit into our hearts, yes? And that changes things. And what should change, if we allow it to happen, is that the flesh was ruling us in the past, now the Spirit rules the flesh. Yes, we follow the Spirit, and the flesh has to follow. So now the stronger part of you becomes the Spirit. That's what leads us to agape love, is the Spirit. I've only done with page one, so you guys are stuck for a while. You love them through God's love. This is the love that God has for the world. We have to imitate that love. We know what God did on the cross for us. We have to imitate that love. With that, that is why we are the light of the world. It's so adverse to normal behavior, to love the enemy, to be kind to someone who persecutes you. When someone does something that persecutes you, your response normally is in kind. I'm going to hit him back. I don't like what he said to me. I'm going to be offended and hit him back. And then you respond that way, and then they come back, you stronger. And then you hit him back stronger, and it spirals. worse and worse and worse. And it gets to, I don't know, someone shooting someone else in a highway in a rage road rage situation. I mean, that's how things can spiral, right? If you're called to love your enemy when they say something that offends you, you don't get offended. You remember, you love them and you respond in kindness. Yes, that's hard to do. It's not natural. It's not your natural reaction, but it's what we're called to do. It's what the Spirit leads us to do. It feels like coals on their forehead, as the Bible says. When you respond, when they attack you and you respond in kindness, it's like, what was that? That's the beginning of touching their hearts with the Lord. God shows us his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He gave us the example. Will you give your life for someone else? That's a tough one. Well, maybe my wife, maybe my family, but the average guy in the street I don't know who's a sinner. Would you give your life for that person? That's what God did. We were all sinners. They hated him. They spit at him. They whipped him. They ripped the hair out of his face. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yes, that is the example. I pray that none of us have to go through with something like that. But in our normal everyday life, we are called to give sacrificial love. Something that a statistic we didn't show upstairs yet was the one about marriage. 50% of marriages go to divorce. Terrible number. Maybe 20, 30 years ago, it was 30%. I don't know, maybe, who knows why the number's increasing. Maybe it was the same situation then and then, but women couldn't support themselves or something back then. I don't know the reasons why it changes, but I do know that it's a sad story. Why is that? Because marriage requires all four forms of love that we talked about, including agape love. Agape love allows two people to deal with each other in the Spirit. And that's what it needs. It really does. Agape love allows one to see their partner through God's eyes. So when you get into a heated discussion, I'll call it, which happens now and then. She's put up with me for 39 years, so she deserves a halo over there. And my heated discussions can be pretty heated, so I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord, and forgive me, Janet. But the thing is, with agape love, it allows one to see their partners through God's eyes, even through disagreements and heated arguments. It allows you to flip the switch and see them through the love of God, through the Spirit of God. That changes so much. Get rid of that anger. Get rid of I'm right. Get rid of my way. Go to, she's a child of God. I see her that way. And as a child of God, God sees us not only as we are, he sees us as we will be. Because he knows what we will be like when we finally come to him. And he finishes the work. And I'm going to talk about finishing the work later. But he finishes the work and sees us like that. As people, as his child of God, who are now without sin, who live in a world with no sin, who are full of agape love, sacrificial love for each other. And you know, that's all we need. Remember the two great commandments? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two laws hang all the, on these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. That's it. That's all you have to do. But to do it, you need agape love, don't you? From God. This is what sets us apart from sinful mankind, your agape love. Sinful mankind does 1, 2, and 3. Agape love is from God. It is our light, our unconditional love for other people. You will want them to be saved. You care about them. You love them. You don't want them to end up in hell. You can help them be saved. You will want to go and share the gospel to people that God brings in your path. That's the motive. The motive for spreading the word is to save them from your heart of love. That's the key. It's not to impress anybody with all the people I've brought to church. It's not to impress other believers that I have, you know, I've done this. It's from the heart to the heart. It's, I love that person, that stranger, that messed up person in the gutter, full of addictions, a mess. I don't want to get too sidetracked because I don't have much time. But I can think of experiences of people I knew who were from the gutter, who were from gangs in Taunton that I don't know what they did. I don't want to know. But I know it was a drug scene and lethal. And yet, can come to God, can find a way, can change. Amen? It's long. It's hard. You know, it isn't like you say the prayer to Jesus and you're saved and you're there. Of course not. Romans 12, renewal of the mind. It takes time. It takes patience to work with someone. So part of discipleship is not only telling about the word of God, it's living with them to show them what it is to believe, how to believe, what to believe, how to live. Does that make sense? It takes time, years. How can you keep the truth to yourself? How can you keep good news to yourself? It is selfish. You were lost, but God saved you. You need to love other people as you love yourself. As you worry about your own salvation, you need to worry about the salvation of other people. Amen. And I'm not standing here as someone who is the greatest discipleship maker. I have the same problem. Just want you to know, I have not done well with disciple making. I wish I could, and I'm praying I will. And when we talk about the church moving to disciple making, it has to do with this agape love. This is really the root of what we're after, is your relationship with Christ, to indwell the Spirit of the Lord and lean on that Spirit to reach out, to do whatever the Spirit leads you to do. This is one of them, right? The Spirit leads you to do many things, but the Spirit will also lead you to other people. Even promises to give you the words to say. Promises to help, because he wants you to do that. He wants you to, he will help you. I'm going to jump to Philippians 2, verses 3 to 5. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Again, an example of sacrificial love. Care more about other people and their, of them being prosperous, of them having a walk with God. If you have believed that in Christ Jesus as your Savior and leader, the Holy Spirit resides in you and God's love has been poured into you so that you are able to love God and to love others. It's not something we just do out of will. It requires the power of the Holy Spirit poured into us, the love of God poured into us that flows through us. We're not born with enough love to do the kind of love he wants. It has to be his love flowing through us, his infinite love. We're conduit at best. Listen to the way of of love that has been poured into you. First Corinthians 13. We've all probably read that chapter, the love chapter. But to me, it shows a number of real truths about agape love. Bear with me, it's a little long. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. There's nothing wrong with pursuing knowledge, but it's not the thing. It's not the motive. And oftentimes we get hung up in pursuing gifts of God. Not that they're good, gifts are good, when we use them under the power of agape love to reach other people or whatever he calls us to do. But having gifts to show other people we have gifts is not what it's about. If I give away all I have, even more than 10%, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. It's all for naught. It's got to have love as the motive. Agape love, the motive. Agape love, the root. Love is patient and kind, does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Amen. What a powerful. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Isn't love amazing? I can't do that. I wish I could. I have to have the power of the Holy Spirit in me to give me the power to do that kind of love. Look at it. It's perfect. I get grumpy. I get whatever. I fall short. You know, I mess up. I say the wrong things. I get jealous. I get whatever. Things happen and I say the wrong things. I want to do it my way. I want to be controlling. There's lots of sin in my life. But, you know, we all fall short of the glory of God. Don't let that hang you up. But understand that there is a thing called agape love that you're striving to acquire. When God says he's this thing called sanctification, which is taking us as we are and growing us to be more and more like him every day, what he's really doing is pouring agape love into us. Because that is the thing we need. That is God, right? We started off. God is love. He's pouring agape love into us. Let me catch the next section because I have one more thing to say about this passage. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, knowledge will pass away. You won't remember a thing on the other side. Well, not quite. But your knowledge does not come with you. And I can tell you now, being an older guy, my knowledge is passing away already. I used to be a young engineer, and you know, I won't go into that. You don't want to hear that. But, you know, state of the art, developing things. Anyway, I retired when I was 70 for a reason, right? I mean, the brain just doesn't operate the same. You can't keep picking up new technology all the time, which is what it was, and doing things that hadn't been done before. It's a different level. And the mind, you know, the mind just doesn't operate as efficiently as it. The mind just slowly fades, right? I can't remember whatever. What can I remember? I can't even remember what I can't remember. That's so bad. So, you know, and we all have memory lapses, but it does get worse, just so you know. You have something to look forward to. I even forget, why am I standing up here? I forget. But, yeah, so knowledge passes away. It isn't like, you better study the Bible so when I get to heaven, I know what to do. No. Although studying the Bible lets us get in touch with the Lord, because the Word and God and love are all equal. Remember, A equals B, B equals C, C equals D. Anyway, The word is important. It's a way of acquiring agape love, understanding it, being that conduit, knowing that's what you want, and not being surprised at the result of that being some very strange behaviors like loving someone who hates you. Yes? For now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. You are only able to love because God first loved you. Love binds things together in perfect harmony. If you abide in love, you will abide in God. 1 John 4:16. So we have come to know, we started off with this, we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Do I have time for a little more?
What does God say?
He says, a little more. I have two more scriptures, and I think Pat did one of these last week, but I just wanted to repeat it, having to do with I am the vine. And praise God. Let me just go through it, because to me, these are powerful.
Yes.
You know, so much more. What I'm saying doesn't mean much, but what the Bible says means it all. So I really, even when I did the communion, I always went to the Bible, because the Bible has much to say and I have very little. So it's so important to hear the word. And these two scriptures say a lot to me. John 15. I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into a fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I love that. That's called prayer. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Isn't that what we want? Don't we want to bear much fruit to prove to be his disciples? Didn't he call us to be a disciple when he ascended into heaven? Gave the Great Commission. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. What he's asking us to do is joyful. It's not a pain. It's not a horrible thing that we have to do because we're believers. You know, there's joy in it. There's joy into talking and spreading the gospel and seeing God work in other people's lives, in people who were lost and bouncing around horribly in this world, headed to hell. Yet you stepped in with the power of the Holy Spirit with agape love and you touched them. But it's not really you. You got to understand. No man may boast. So you have to understand that it's really God working through you. You can't take credit for it. No man may boast, because God is doing it through you. You're just a conduit, like a wire between the battery and a light bulb. You're just a conduit. But he needs us as conduits, and he allows us to have the joy of seeing the fruit that we participate in. So it's a good thing. It's not a hard, suffering thing he's calling us to do. It's a good thing. Last scripture, and then I'll let you go. John 1:5, verses 1-4. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, and when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Amen.